Guess what day it is?
Julie!
Huh?
Julie!
Huh? Guess what day it is?
Julie!
Huh?
Julie!
Huh? Guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is?
Anybody? Anybody?
Guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is?
Anybody? Anybody?
Mike.
Huh?
What day is it, Mike?
Huh?
Woo-hoo! Mike.
Huh?
What day is it, Mike?
Huh?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
Uh-oh.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
Mike.
What day is it, Mike?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
Happy Hump Day, San Rafael. You're listening to Penguin Radio, only at radio.dominican.edu. This is Good Day from the Bay. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe, where we give you the news feeds, the entertainment sleeds, and some sports leads.
Well, good afternoon, Ruby Joe. It's so good to see you.
I know. It's such a nice day outside today.
I know. It's really nice. I mean, there's a nice little breeze. The sun's out. I mean, it's chilly, but not too chilly.
The mornings are a little too cold for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate the mornings here. It's so freaking cold.
I know. For real.
But anyway, how's your day been going? How's this your little hump day?
My hump day's been going good. You know, I was up at 6:20 usual.
Early riser.
I know, for my little soccer going on, and then 8 a.m. class, and then more classes, and here we are.
Bam, wada bing, wada boom.
Wada boom, bada bing.
Well, we got some pretty good news stories for you guys today. Quite interesting, actually, to say the least. Ruby Joe, do you want to introduce our first story?
Yeah, we can talk about today. We're going to start with a World War II German U-boat.
Yes, the World War II German U-boat that was sunk in the Battle of the Atlantic more than 72 years ago has finally been discovered off the coast of North Carolina. This World War II German boat was said to have gone completely missing in action, and there has been no record of this boat or anyone on its vessel since it sunk. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced Tuesday that this German sub, the U-576, was found at the bottom of the Atlantic, 30 miles off Cape Hatteras, and was just 240 yards from an American merchant ship, the merchant tanker Bluefield, which was a part of the 24-ship U.S. convoy heading from Virginia to Key West, Florida, on July 14, 1942. This is not just a discovery of a single shipwreck, says Joy Hope, chief scientist of NOAA's Office of Marine Sanctuaries Expedition, which found the vessels. He says, in quote, "We have discovered an important battle site that is part of the Battle of the Atlantic. These two ships rest only a few hundred yards apart and together help us interpret and share their forgotten stories. The story of the U-576 was more tragic than the two wrecks."
Wow. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I actually was reading about that story also yesterday, and I thought that was really cool how, you know, all our technology nowadays can just go and find different uncovered special pieces from the past.
And, I mean, I'm sure the family members or the extended family of everybody involved, I mean, I'm sure it was really relieving to know that there was record found of their lost one's ship or whatever, you know?
Yeah. It's always good to find, like, memorabilias.
Yes, I totally agree. And it's really funny, like Ruby Joe said, I mean, me and her, we do our own things when we do our scripts. We're just kind of doing them in between homework sessions. And me and her both found the story and literally we're completely
bada bing, bada boom. They're both our first stories that we found.
I know. Synchronicity. It's key.
It really is. All right. So going off of discoveries, the discovery of a tiny species of a human from 10 years ago has transformed theories of human evolution. The theory that made Professor Richard Roberts, who among those have published details about the new Hobbit, I quote, "The early humans was thought to have lived as recently as 20,000 years ago."
What?
Yeah. and have walked the Earth around the same time as our species.
What?
Yeah, the Hobbit's discovery confirmed the view of the Earth was once populated by many species of human. Robert stated, the discovery of the Hobbit has opened up the credible possibility of undiscovered human species, which is out there. I think the discovery of the Hobbit helped create an atmosphere in which it's okay to expect the unexpected, and that we shouldn't get fooled into thinking that we have all the answers ever.
Wow. So, okay, by Hobbit, like, are they saying it, like, it has any correlation to the Hobbit from Lord of the Rings?
No correlation to that whatsoever. It's like a chimpanzee, like.
Oh, so it's like a primate.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
So that, like, they found different ones of these. So stating that we, you know, humans weren't the only ones that walk the Earth.
This was a little big history stuff going on here.
Big history going on today.
Yeah, I like this theme. Well, that's pretty cool. Mine's not as like
a way back Wednesday.
Mine's not like a way back Wednesday kind of thing, but it's kind of like a Fright Night Friday kind of story.
Oh,
maybe we could call it like Ooh Wednesday.
Ooh Wednesday.
So it's my Ooh Wednesday story. This is not funny, though. There's a serial killer on the loose in Gary, Indiana.
What?
Yeah,
is happening,
that's what I
with
said.
The Midwest.
What? Yeah. And you know what's creepy? I haven't heard any serial killer stories in a while.
I haven't.
I feel like the last one I'm familiar with was like the Zodiac Killer, but we weren't even alive.
Yeah, but it's like, it's spooky October. So, you know, these
everyone's,
things,
everyone's crazed by the air
and all these blue moons, red moons coming out.
And all the she-wolves and werewolves.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so in the town of Gary, Indiana, they're living in a total fear of a potential serial killer. 7 women are killed. At least that is all that have been reported. Indiana authorities spent Tuesday canvassing abandoned properties in Gary, Indiana, and this comes after authorities say Darren Dion Van, the man who, according to police documents, admitted strangling women inside a nearby Motel 6 room, confessed to also killing 6 others that led police to their bodies. A team of law enforcement officers hit the streets Tuesday, and some accompanied by cadaver dogs. Gary Police Chief Larry McKinley said 35 officers spent the day going through about 120 structures out of an estimated 10,000 vacant properties in the city of 80,000 people.
Wow.
And those efforts will continue to go on. Even without any admissions of any more killings, authorities are not taking any chances. While taken aback by the horrific story, Gary residents aren't quite surprised that the abandoned properties are played into this story. They have been pushing to tear down these buildings or do something about them amid fears that shady characters, such as the serial killer, will have used them for no good deeds.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah.
So, that's stuff that you watch on CSI Miami or CSI New York, any of those Criminal Mind shows.
And what makes it so intimidating is that it started out with him just confessing to one murder. And then it's just all like of a sudden
effect.
He escalated in like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, they all just kept flowing out.
And
after
then he
that.
Just
so
let.
Scary.
And the thing that was really creepy is he put each body in an individual vacant house.
Ugh.
So there were 7 houses with dead bodies.
That's really creepy.
And a Motel 6.
I don't know like what come across these people, the serial killers' minds. Like there's a chemical imbalance that is wrong with their
there's
minds.
There's definitely something wrong. Because it's not normal nor healthy to want to kill another human being, especially innocent humans. And there's nothing, you can't really explain it. It's got to be a mental illness of some sorts because that's just not normal.
Yeah, it's sad.
Not that there's really any definitive answer to what is and is not normal, but I would just say it's not normal.
I agree. Yeah. Well, on one sad death to another, have a sad death story for you. So a 16-year-old girl collapsed and died after visiting an Ohio haunted house.
Oh, shoot.
People say she was scared to death.
Are you kidding me?
Just listen.
Oh, my
listen.
Gosh.
So Christian Faith Bench was on a family trip last week to the Land of the Illusion haunted house in Middleton, Ohio.
Oof.
Last week when she collapsed.
So like everyone, mid-haunted house.
Yeah, mid-haunted house. Everyone is saying that she was scared to death, and that's the reason why she collapsed. However, her mother, Jean Binge, said that she and a paramedic performed CPR on the teen before she was taken to a local hospital. The teenager was pronounced dead after arriving at the hospital, and Binge said she was being frustrated by the news reporting saying that her daughter was scared to death. However, she was not scared to death. She cited from a lifelong heart defect, and she was being responsible for defect and being responsible for her daughter's not surprising death. So the big high stressful situations like the haunted house
probably rubbed her heart up.
And her heart was four times the size of normal.
Oh my God. Why would you even put yourself in that position if you knew that was your health condition? They always give you those prefaces before you go in. Like if you have heart problems or you're pregnant or you're prone to epilepsy, like
go into these haunted houses. And you know, some of these haunted houses you have to sign releases for.
That one in San Diego?
It's
called like McKinley or McKinley or something Manor in San Diego. And Ruby Jo and I were just discussing this before the show. This haunted house has a waiting list. And get this, Ruby Jo, do you want to tell them why they're waiting? Why there's a waiting list?
Because you can be physically injured, harmed, and touched.
Tortured.
Haunted house.
It's absolutely acceptable to be tortured.
Yeah, it literally says tortured.
I saw they have the film clips like online.
On YouTube, I was watching those.
They have clips online and there's people who are being drowned. Like they're like coming close to drowning in a bloodbath. Like bloodbath, and they're being strangled and gagged. And they're like being dangled from their arms and chains. And
this haunted house though lasts year round, I heard. So it's a year round haunted house. It's free. You can sign up for it. Only two people are allowed to go into it at a time. Because it's all these different...
Forget that.
I would never do that because I can't even watch a scary movie.
Could you imagine me and you going in together? We would be like... We'd
probably
die. Yeah.
It's not funny, but we would die.
Like, I would die of fright. I'm a healthy human being. Wow. I would die. I did the haunted house just here at Dominican.
Oh, you did? How did that one go?
Oh, my gosh. It was just Dominican students, but I literally got separated from my group. Strobe lights are going off.
Where was the haunted house?
It was dark in the science building.
Oh.
It was dark, and the next thing I knew, I had my fingers in my ears, head down, and things are screaming at me, and someone touched me. Someone knew my name.
Someone knew your name?
That was my worst fear. Some like we're pretending to be a possessed student.
No.
Like started screaming my name, and I was like, get away from me.
Oh my.
The only bright side of that haunted house was it was over. It was like a 3-minute thing.
I'm not a big fan of haunted houses. See, I'd rather go to the pumpkin patches.
Me too. You drink a pumpkin spice latte, watch Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, go to Apple Hill.
Normal people things.
Yeah, like eat some caramelized apples, some candy, enjoy it.
Dress up.
Yeah, watch and maybe a little Halloween Town.
Ooh, that's a good
but
call.
Nothing scary.
Yeah, no. Forget you. Yeah,
scariness.
No way. Well, that's really unfortunate. I hate this time of year sucks because people take scary to a whole nother level.
Yeah, they really do.
I don't like it.
And Halloween's coming up, what, next week? The week after?
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
9 days?
I love Halloween for the fall festivities, but I hate Halloween for, like, the people who take it to, like, the demonic, like, evil level.
Yeah, all those ghosts.
It's terrible. I absolutely hate it.
Do you know what you're going to be for Halloween yet?
Are you kidding?
Do you know what you're going
to
be?
Well, at the haunted house, I had to get that schoolgirl thing out of me, so I was Britney Spears without the pigtails.
Oh.
Yeah, hit me, baby, one more time, and then... Did I dress up after that? No, I just did.
Did you go to the school
thing.
Dance?
I did go to the school dance.
As Britney Spears, schoolgirl?
I
girl? Did.
I learned how to do some different varieties of dancing, like the Dougie. Oh. And I practiced my birdie, and I did some Crank That Soldier Boy.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and I did some crumping.
You crumped.
Man, my back's a little sore. But that's okay. That's
a little sore
I had
from
fun.
Crumping.
But I don't know what I'm going to be. I don't know, a basic black cat? I don't know.
That's what I actually got black ears.
I'm
not kidding. I have my black cat costume ready
maybe
to roll.
Then, maybe I'll just be a witch.
No, we can be black cats together. It'll be
meow.
Fine. It'll be fine.
Or I could just be a leopard.
That was really, really aggressive on that. I don't know. You know, I think scratch that.
We'll keep it posted.
Yeah, we'll keep it posted on Halloween.
If you have a thought as to what Ruby Jo and I should be, feel free to post to our radio Twitter.
Yeah.
You just follow us at Penguin Radio.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, Ruby Jo, Harper Clementine, you guys should be bada bing, bada boom.
For Halloween.
Or do this partner costume because we'll do it. No matter
how
crazy it is, we'll make it work.
We'll make it work, even though I may not be on town on Halloween.
Doesn't have to be Halloween to dress up.
That is
November 1st.
November 1st. See us in our costumes getting bagels in the morning.
And if you give us an outfit and we pick your outfit, we'll Instagram it.
We will. We'll definitely Instagram it under DU_radio, Penguin Radio. Follow Penguin it on Radio. Instagram.
Yes. Yes, yes. And make sure you follow our Facebook page too.
Yes.
Dominican Penguin Radio.
Yeah, so follow all three of our social media accounts and shout out to us what you want us to be for Halloween.
Exactly. Alrighty, I believe you have some news stories.
I do. This
or
one,
health stories.
I have one more news.
Okay.
One more news. So this one's like on the bright side of things. It's a woohoo type of news.
We need a little pick me up.
Yeah. So an activist group in the United States has been carrying out deeds that some might think the stuff of dreams, buying and canceling out people's student debts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, oh.
The Rolling Jubilee has purchased and abolished 3.8 million of debt owned by 2,700 students, paying just over 100,000, or say pennies on the dollar. The campaign group, which wants to be called the Liberator Debtorators, says it also takes its name from the tradition in religions of marking a jubilee celebrations by freeing people from their debt.
Wow, that sounds like a miracle in the making.
I don't know where they're getting their money, but that's all.
Yeah, hey, hit us up with where you get your cash money.
I know, for
just
real.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
So that
I'm
was our, kidding. You know, bright side. We went from you know,
deaths and haunted
way back
houses
Wednesday to
Wednesday
to. Woohoo! Wednesday.
It went from hump day.
There we
and
go.
And then we just escalated through all of your emotions.
And we did.
But
we
now
took all three on the news.
I believe you do have health stories now.
I do. I have three health stories.
Okay.
You want to hit them now or we go to a break?
Hit them now.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, so scientists say that they have identified an underlying reason why some people are prone to the winter blues, a seasonal affective disorder, SAD.
Oh.
Sad. It's actually called SAD.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oops. Seasonal affective disorder.
Oh.
Yeah. So people with SAD have an unhelpful way of controlling the happy brain signaling compound serotonin during the winter months, brain scans reveal. As the nights draw in, production of the transporter protein ramps up in SAD, lowering the available serotonin. Lead researcher Dr. Brenda McCohen said, "We believe that we have found the dial the brain turns when it has to adjust serotonin to the changing of seasons. The serotonin transporter, SERT, carries serotonin back into the nerve cells where it is not active. So the higher the SERT activity, the lower the activity of serotonin. Sunlight keeps the setting naturally low, but when the nights grow longer during the autumn, the SERT levels increase, resulting in diminishing active serotonin levels."
Wow. That's really interesting.
So even like it is, people do get more, you know, depressed when the season is colder and it's darker outside and there's not as much light.
Well, and I totally believe that too, because when I was looking at schools in the Pacific Northwest, everybody's comment was, "Well, can you handle the rain?" I'm like,
"Yeah."
Well, yeah. And they're like, "Well, really?" Because they have the highest depression rates. And it's true because it's so gloomy there all the time. And it's really easy to like want to be in bed and be in a funk and
not get out of bed.
Listen to sad songs.
Dark all the time.
Think about everything that's going wrong in your life. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I agree.
So SAD is a disorder.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that they put a name to it.
Yeah. And it's you
a clever one, too.
Right? Pun on that one.
Yeah. It's so punny.
For real. All right. Next health story I have for you today is scientists have sequenced the entire genome of the common housefly and say their findings should help uncover new cures for the human disease.
Oh.
Yeah. So the fly can carry about 100 illnesses, including one that can blind.
What?
Yeah.
Say what?
By comparing its DNA with that of a fruit fly, the U.S. team of Cornell University's pinpointed the genes that make houseflies immune to the pathogens they harbor.
Ugh.
Yeah. They also found the unique code that helps flies dissolve waste, such as feces. Information about these genes could help us to handle human waste and improve the environment, Dr. Jeff Scout and the colleagues told the journal. So
basically, houseflies are going to be immune to dying?
No, what they're doing is they're, you know, going in and going into these houseflies and seeing that all these houseflies have all these genes.
So
yeah, I don't like flies. they have all these cures for human diseases. So you know how, like, in order to, when you get the flu shot, they inject you with, like, the dead.
Yeah, the dead cells.
The dead cells. Yeah. So, like, by finding all these diseases in the flies, they can help save lives of humans.
That's probably the only good thing that'll come from a fly.
Yeah, the only good thing.
Flies.
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty interesting. And you got a third story to wrap it up?
I got one more for you. This is a really cool one.
Hit us with your best shot.
A paralyzed man has been able to walk again after pioneering therapy that involved transplanting cells from his nasal cavity into his spinal cord. How interesting.
Like a nose to your back spine?
Yeah, his nose, little cells in his nose into his spinal cord.
Get out of town.
Yeah. Oh,
elaborate.
Okay, so Derek Fidia, that's his name.
Okay.
Who was paralyzed from the chest down in a knife attack in 2010. Now walk using a frame.
That deserves a round of applause.
Yeah. The treatment, a world's first, was carried out by surgeons in Poland with a collaboration of scientists in London. So this is a world's first.
Wow.
Good for him. Congratulations.
How old is he?
I did not say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Very interesting.
Now that we've ended on, I think, a positive note, which is most appropriate, I think it's time for a commercial break. So you guys are listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is Good Day from the Bay. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe.
And we'll be right back. This is another Bosco break. If you're going to have someone ship you a package of cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine via FedEx, make sure the sender has the correct address. Three Houston residents are likely cursing the person who mislabeled just such a package after it arrived at the wrong residence and the owner alerted the police, the Houston Chronicle reports. A tip directed cops to a nearby house where they say they found Michael Taylor, Stephanie Adams, and Leslie Peck holed up with $100,000 worth of drugs and a weapons arsenal, as well as Adam's 5-year-old kid, who was reportedly napping while mom did meth in the next room. In addition to the drugs in the package, they also say they found LSD, hashish, pain pills, steroids, morphine, codeine, and even prescription cancer medications. Oh, and also a bunch of shotguns, handguns, and a semi-automatic rifle. The three were arrested on drug and weapons charges and currently have a new address, the Harris County Jail. As for other drug news, San Miguel de Allende is a sleepy artist enclave nestled in the mountains of central Mexico, equally popular with the artists and retired Americans. But the city jolted awake yesterday as federal special forces swept into a seafood restaurant and nabbed one of the nation's most notorious drug lords, Hector Beltran Leyva, who had apparently been hiding in plain sight in nearby Cuadratero. The honcho of the eponymous Beltran Leyva cartel had been posing as a dealer of not drugs, but rather art and real estate, says a rep with the Mexican AG's office, and was living a low-key lifestyle, avoiding attracting the attention of neighbors, friends, or the authorities. Beltran Leyva is the fourth of his brothers to fall, notes the AP. Two others are currently cooling their heels behind bars, while another was killed in 2009 when Beltran Leyva took over leadership of the cartel. Obviously, this is not the Beltran Leyva's organization in its strongest moment, says a Mexican security expert, but it continues to be a criminal organization capable of generating localized violence in some states. Beltran Leyva's head carries a $5 million bounty stateside and a $2.2 million bounty in Mexico. As opposed to the capture of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, dubbed the world's most powerful drug lord, Leyva's capture is the latest in a string of coups for Mexican authorities. That's all for your Bosco break. Back to the show.
About you, baby. You don't know how I feel.
Happy Hump Day, Sanderfell, and we are back for the second segment and portion of our radio show. This is Harper Clementine.
And this is Ruby Joe.
Welcome to Good Day from the Bay. So we just wrapped up our news and our health segment, and now we're shifting over into our entertainment. Shifting over into our entertainment and technology portion of the show. I'm quite excited. I have quite a couple interesting stories, to say the least.
Oh.
My first.
Spicing it up with us today?
I am spicing it up with us a little bit today. We're going to get started with Renee Zellweger.
Oh.
Do you remember Renee Zellweger? She's from Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yeah, I remember her.
And she was one of the fish in Shark Tale.
Was she really?
Yep, she was that news reporter, the one that was in love with Oscar, not Angelina
Jolie. Oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Renee Zellweger is popularly known, again, like for her Bridget Jones and Bridget Jones Diary series, but she has caused a complete internet frenzy after she stepped out Monday night looking like a completely different person at the 2014 Elle's Women Hollywood Awards. The nearly unrecognizable star has long been rumored to have gone under the knife in the past, but her most recent change in appearance was even more dramatic, leading plastic surgeons to post that she may have had work done.
May.
That's have what work, the funny keyword, but she did. Plastic surgeons who have not treated the actress are coming out with assumptions, though, that the starlet has indeed had eyelid surgery, blepharoplasty, Botox, lip fillers, and cheek fillers.
Wow, so she just completely changed her look on.
And in my unprofessional opinion, I totally think she got her nose done.
Oh.
But they're saying she didn't touch it. But when you look at pictures,
I mean, I always thought you got your nose done too.
Yeah, everyone thinks I got a nose job. But
it's not true. It's not true.
Let me just say, if there's anything I had to prioritize, my nose would be the last on that list. let me be real with that. I think I attribute weight loss to my different nose. Because hers, it's so funny. Her nose, she had like a really cute thin nose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's not chubby. Even when she was chubby, it was super thin. But she's even thinner than she used to be in the Bridget Jones series. And her nose looks like she got like injections or something. Like the
maybe
Bridget
something
went
awry in her face, like her cheeks.
Like,
you know,
had an allergic reaction. Yeah. She's puffy.
Yeah. Or something like went awry.
She just had it done and it's puffy.
Yeah.
It's really, it's like so weird. It's so puffy right here. And when you look at pictures, she looks.
Or just maybe like an allergic reaction.
She looks more wrinkly though.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you had all this work and fillers put in your face, how come you're even more wrinkly than you were before?
It's sad. It's like, sad. Just don't get work done.
She was botched. She needs to get on that show ASAP on E! News.
ASAP.
Yeah.
Do
girl,
it.
G-Friend, you got to get that fixed.
G-Friend, go
you
for it.
You need to get your money back or something, because she is a totally different person. And this
Not
morning.
In a good way.
And this morning she went on to respond, I'm glad people think I look different. That's what I paid for. I'm like, okay, A, you confirmed you got plastic surgery, go you. But B, no, we're not praising you for a positive thing.
Yeah.
She looked so beautiful before. Now she's just kind of like trash.
You know, those stars do what those stars do.
Honestly, I've learned to appreciate little imperfections, because why look like the same Botox botched Barbie?
Yeah, it's everyone else.
Yeah, yeah, it's like anybody can have like that plastic Barbie nose, but no one can have this nose.
No one can have my
nose,
my beauty,
my freckles, like,
yeah.
So
individuality out there, individuality.
Exactly. So Renee Zellweger, she caused quite a stir. If you want to see the pictures, go to E! News. You can just type in Renee Zellweger on Google. I mean, she's all over images, CNN. You can go to Us Weekly, anywhere. She will be all over the pictures. So that wraps
Check
up.
It out.
That, yeah, wraps her up. Frick, 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 frick.
Next Slurped. Story.
Next story. Bryan Cranston. Did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
Did I watch Breaking Bad?
Had Jesse and Walt.
And yeah. Yes. Okay. I have watched Breaking Bad.
Okay. So
a few episodes.
Bryan Cranston plays Walt on the show.
Yeah.
And he is coming out against in a Twitter fight with a bunch of Florida moms.
Oh.
Because
Twitter fight.
Apparently, Toys R Us has released an action figure line of... there's like action figure line of kind of like Breaking Bad stuff. It's weird. It's very odd. It's not like action figures, but it is like action figures.
Huh.
Basically, this is a story. This is the message to you all. Attention all angry mothers. This man has finally spoken, or at least he has tweeted. Breaking Bad star Bryan Cranston has finally responded to at least one specific mom who has made it publicly known that she's against the idea of Toys R Us selling action figures based on the AMC's popular series Breaking Bad.
I kind of would be against it too.
it's how she went about it. I'd be against it too, but it's how she went about it.
Let's hear it.
What he wrote will only make you love him that much more. Quote, Florida mom petitions against Toys R Us over Breaking Bad action figures. I'm so mad I'm burning my Florida mom action figures in protest. He tweeted.
What?
That's what he tweeted. Susan Shriver, Fort Myers, Florida, started a change.org petition last week to get Toys R Us to remove Breaking Bad action figures from their shelves. The petition, which currently has over 3,600 supporters, states, quote, Toys R Us is well known around the world for their vast selection of toys for children of all ages. However, their decision to sell a Breaking Bad doll, complete with a detachable sack of cash and bag of meth, alongside children's toys, is a dangerous deviation from their family-friendly values.
Oh, end my.
Quote. Toys R Us has decided to pull the Breaking Bad action figures as a result of the petition and following the angry mother's petitioning statements. The company tells E! News in a statement, quote, let's just say the action figures have taken an indefinite sabbatical, end quote.
I can't believe the action figures have the bag of meth and the money.
And I totally agree with the moms and Toys R Us. I wouldn't want my kids playing with that, but I guess that Florida mom, Susan Shrevier.
It's the way you go about it.
She burned the action figures and was like, I'm so mad right now.
I didn't
now.
Even know you could burn action figures, because when I was younger, I actually...
Probably put gas. If you put gas on it.
I've tried to actually, when I was younger, burn action figure.
Well, haven't you always seen this? Sometimes they say that...
And they don't. They're not flammable.
Some of them, maybe, if it's a Breaking Bad one with meth, you never know what it's made out of. So that wraps up her. And then my last story is T-Swizzle.
T-Swizzle.
This poor girl cannot catch a break on her poor love life. This girl is like 26.
I feel bad for T-Swift.
She just can't catch...
Her songs, though, My Life.
Yeah. Well, I don't like her new album.
Out
of the Woods?
I've not heard her new album.
Not good. It's about Harry Styles support.
Oh, yeah, it's
awful. It's really bad. But anyway, Taylor Swift doesn't just make great points about love found and love lost. The Grammy-winning singer was also spot on when she pointed out that while celebrities in general end up on subject to intense scrutiny of their personal lives, no matter what they're producing on the screen or in the studio, female celebrities get the brunt of it. Quote, I think with every celebrity story, there has to be a yeah, but... Swift told Esquire in a new interview. Quote, take Beyonce. She's incredibly talented, gorgeous, perfect role model for girls, empowering women all over the world. Yeah, but let's try to pick at her marriage. I think that every celebrity has that, and predominantly women, unfortunately. I would date someone, figure out we weren't compatible, or figure out that we didn't work, and then we'd break up. That seems to be a very normal thing for a 20-something-year-old to do, and that is my biggest scandal. End quote. Pulling the plug on romance altogether seems a little drastic, but Taylor has a reason to use the S-word, and by S-word I mean sexist.
Oh.
Claiming her songs are only about her ex-boyfriends is, quote, a very sexist angle to take, she told Australia's Jules, Merrick, and Sophie show on Today FM. Quote, you have more and more people paying attention to what you're doing and who you've been doing, and it's the same way your entire career as a songwriter, she said. They use you to write songs about your life as a way to play detective for me, and I have a really strict personal policy that I never name names. So anybody saying that a song is about a specific person is purely speculating, end quote.
You know, I don't know if I really believe what Taylor Swift says, because
about
when
what?
She wrote about Joe Jonas, mm-hmm. she said she wrote about Joe Jonas.
Well, but she never names them in her songs.
Yeah, that is
except
true.
Except Dear John.
Yeah.
Dear John was the only one, but she made, like, that's how she promoted it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like T-Swift, what she does, like, what she's known for is her breakups. That's what T-Swift's known for, is her breakups and her sad love songs.
You have to think, too, like, other people write songs about her. John Mayer writes about all the girls he's dated. Your Body is a Wonderland's about his ex-girlfriend Jennifer Love Hewitt, and he made sure to let it be known. Like, Robin Thicke writes about his ex-wife trying to get her back, bae. Like, all these people, I think, I totally agree. Taylor Swift has built her career on love lost and love found.
Yeah.
But she's not the only one who writes about it. She's just really good at writing about it.
I think that's the only thing she writes about.
Well, this album she doesn't, at least. And her last albums, I mean, they're kind of like, they've always been all about one guy.
It's like the teeny bopper high school love songs. That's what they all sound like to me. They're all very similar, like White Horse.
Except for her first two. Her first two albums were very country.
Yeah.
Very like...
But that was before she became like big time.
Yeah, but then again, if you have to think about it, I mean, it's us as her listeners feeding into that. So if she's breaking bank.
I have bought some of her songs.
If she's breaking bank because of us, I'm not getting, you know, she slipped.
I don't hate you, but it's like I liked you more a few years ago.
It's agree to disagree because I see her sexist point because it's every female in Hollywood. If they do the exact same thing, I think her point was if they do the exact same thing a male does, a girl gets scrutinized over it more than a guy. It's like the typical if a girl has
it is
sex
double
with,
standards.
Yeah,
if a, it's if completely
a girl has
double
a,
standards.
Sex with a bunch of guys, she's a slut, and if a guy does, he's a stud. Like,
yeah.
So I think
it's completely double standards. It's just like it's so redundant with T Swift.
Yeah, because I mean I agree. For 20-something-year-old, that's great. Your biggest scandal is how many guys you've dated. I mean that's not bad, especially for
at least
Hollywood,
she doesn't have like a sexless revealed like Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, I mean
so
it could
like
be worse, but
her.
Like
it's
you said,
dated,
but
you
know? I will agree with you. It is very redundant.
Yeah,
I'm tired of hearing about this whole boy thing, but I do think it's good that she's trying to mature herself out and grow up. But this new
and
album,
she's not doing it the way Miley did, so that's good. You know,
yeah, seriously, Miley is still on a train wreck.
Yeah,
but that wraps up my entertainment segment. Just kind of take that into your brains and absorb what I just told you.
I know there's like what I've noticed is they're not. Like T Swift's music hasn't really played on the radio much recently, and it's just the
Shake It Off.
Yeah,
I'm tired of that.
Yeah,
I'm tired of shaking it off. I'm
tired of shaking that one off.
I'm done. I just want to move and live life. But anyway, moving into technology with our robot. Yeah. So this is the coolest thing ever. Losing Wi-Fi connection may be the hardest thing to lose in your entire life. Would you agree?
I would agree.
So I'm just gonna say this right here. There is this new invention where you can have Wi-Fi in your pocket.
In my pocket? Like, I can carry it wherever
like
I am?
Like a tiny, cute little box.
Like a
little Wi-Fi box.
Tiny Wi-Fi
yes.
box.
Yep. And it's the coolest thing. And it was founded. It's called KarmaGo. It's a new startup called KarmaGo. It's an East Coast-based upstart that was founded on the belief that power and connectivity should be in the hands of the people. And it means that literally, as the company created a pocket-sized device to do just that. Wi-Fi shouldn't be something that you have to hunt for. It should be something that you follow wherever you go. Karma puts reliable Wi-Fi in your pocket and keeps all of your devices connected to the internet.
Wow.
Pretty cool. So Stephen Van Wells, CEO and co-founder of KarmaGo, told FoxBusiness.com that the young company recently signed a multi-year agreement with Sprint and Clearwire for access to their 3G and 4G networks and has raised $2.2 million seed round from investors, jeez, including Werner Vogels, Rothenberg Ventures, 500 Startups, and Techstars, among others. And they're ending the Wi-Fi treasure hunt. The drip drip of torture and bad connections. Internet access is controlled by companies that do not innovate and would much rather restrict internet access than provide it. The pocket-sized KarmaGo devices start at $149 and are available for pre-order to be shipped in December.
That's not even that expensive for wireless to go all the time.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, how much you're paying for your cell phone bill?
I don't even
and
know. Oh, I thought you were asking. I was like, I don't know.
Well, you know, rhetorical question there. So how much? Think about it. How much you pay for your cell phone bill? And you're taking your cell phone everywhere you go with you, mm-hmm, right? But you have to pay for every text message you send, every phone call you make. Well, now with this on-the-go Wi-Fi, you can just use iMessage and FaceTime all you want.
You never have to worry about being lost in the woods.
You don't, because you have your little Wi-Fi.
Or camping.
Wi-Fi on the go. Camping. This is a great little tool you brought to us, our minds today.
Yeah, you know what? I try. But moving into something even cooler, but kind of making me worry that having Wi-Fi in the pocket could be a bad thing.
What?
Internet-connected glasses, smartwatches, and health monitoring gadgets put wireless technology right into your body and increase exposure to radio waves among consumers who are already carrying wireless smartphones, tablets, and laptops. There is good news to potentially hazardous technology materials touching your body all the time. The good news is that most wearable use of Bluetooth technology, which admits much lower levels of radio frequency or RF than cellular-based smartphones and other devices that use Wi-Fi, will suggest that it'll limit radiation. So
okay.
Products like Google Glass, Recon Instruments, Recon Jet, and Optin Vents or RA use Wi-Fi, but it sounds the alarm for some health professionals that your body could be at risk for cancer cells.
Well, I've heard of that before. Like if you like sleep with your cell phone too close to you, like that is like really negative for your health and stuff like that. But I feel like it's really everywhere. Wi-Fi is everywhere.
Well, and they're saying it's having
radiation
it on your body. like caring, because they say if you can't, like they say it's bad to put yourself on in your bra because women have been getting breast cancer, men testicular cancer. I mean, they say it's very dangerous to have
radio frequency so
close to you all the time, like the cell phone, like when it's charging, it's supposed to be bad for you. So it's saying internet connected glasses, smartwatches, however, I mean, it's all dangerous, but they're saying if it has Bluetooth, there's low radio frequency, so it's not as bad. But health professionals are still pretty alarmed. And I thought it was funny because now we have this Wi-Fi in the pocket, and think about how much radio frequency, frequencies and radiation or whatever is like all up in your business.
So now I'm rethinking this whole Wi-Fi all the time type of thing, because now I just have it in my pocket. But all the radiation is just going to come hit me all the time.
It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It's like for every good technology piece that's been invented, I mean, we're also at health risk. So good, bad, whatever you decide for it to be, I mean, we're all going to die of something eventually.
One day.
Make it something you don't mind dying from.
That's so sad.
It's very, very morbid, but it's kind of true, unfortunately. But anyways, this wraps up my technology segment. I hope you guys were enlightened, maybe informed about some health risks.
Yeah,
or
it makes you decide what you want, like if you want to
makes
have
you
the
prioritize
Wi-Fi,
your
or if you don't want the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it's priorities.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
With that said, we're gonna head to a commercial break and we will come back with some sports with my girl Ruby Joe.
Woo-hoo.
Sports, and then we'll close off with some couponing.
Woo.
Being broke ain't a joke.
No, it's not.
This is Harper Clementine and you're listening to Good Day from the Bay,
and I'm Ruby Joe. This is radio.dominican.edu.
Imagine it, or do I see a stare? Is there still longing there? Oh, I hate myself and I feel crazy. Such a classic tale. Current girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, I'm trying to be cool. I'm being paranoid, am I seeing things? Am I just insecure? I want to be. Just you and me. Sometimes it feels like there's three of us in here, baby. So I wait for you to call, and I try to act natural. Have you been thinking about her, about me? And while
another Bosco break. Tristan Correa, the Pennsylvanian 10-year-old who confessed to killing a 90-year-old woman over the weekend, is still in an adult prison, and for now, his family thinks that that could be the best place for him. His attorney withdrew a bail request yesterday, saying that the family just doesn't feel comfortable for numerous reasons, including concern for the family of Helen Novak, whom Tristan allegedly killed with a walking stick, reports WBRE. The lawyer also cited the family's worries over the supervision of work of everything. The district attorney says the boy is not in the general population. He is not in solitary confinement, and he is not in isolation. He is in a cell which I believe is next to the infirmary, where he can come and go from the cell to the infirmary. The nearest juvenile detention facility is 80 miles away. The boy has been provided with coloring books and other forms of entertainment, and while he understands where he is, he's acting like a normal 10-year-old boy and talks about his prison outfit being a Halloween costume, says his lawyer. Tristan has been charged as an adult with homicide, but his lawyer plans to have the case transferred to juvenile court, a move the chief counsel of the Juvenile Law Center in Philadelphia tells the AP is a no-brainer. The fifth grader is a little boy, she says. It's a horrible tragedy, but it's shocking that he suddenly turned into an adult because of conduct that he engaged in. She says he is among the youngest people ever charged with homicide in Pennsylvania. The youngest on record was 9 years old. Related story. Stephen Pratt, the man accused of beating his mother to death less than 2 days after being released from prison for another murder, admitted to the crime at his arraignment in New Jersey. The 45-year-old wept, and despite the judge advising him not to speak without an attorney present, he said, "I don't want a trial. I'm guilty. I have failed. I have no lawyer. I have nobody." When his bail was set at $1 million, he said it doesn't matter, the Philadelphia Daily News reports. Pratt's uncle, the brother of Pratt's mother, said Gwendolyn Pratt was excited when her son was released Friday and took him to IHOP after picking him up at Bayside State Prison. She also threw him a welcome home party at her house in Atlantic City that night, but on Sunday morning, police were called to the house to find the 64-year-old dead. Pratt had served 30 years for shooting and killing a neighbor in 1984. The Press of Atlantic City notes that a few months ago, Pratt reportedly passed on an offer to go to a halfway house where he could ready himself for his release. Now, if you ask me, that's some craziness. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, and that's the end of your Bosco break.
Wow, thank you so much, Bosco, for that Bosco break. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, and I'm Ruby Joe.
And I'm Harper Clementine.
Welcome back to
Good Day from the Bay.
Sorry
about that. It's hump day. We're having a hard time over here.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. All right, so our next section we're going to get into is our sports leads. I'm going to start off with the Giants for you because, you know, I am quite the fan.
You are quite the fan. We have made this very clear.
Yeah. I love me some Giants. So yesterday, actually, I'll tell you a funny, real quick funny story about the Giants. Yesterday at Calabrega, they had Giants-themed dinner. So they did.
No, they did not. Yeah. Is that what that barbecue thing was?
Yeah, it was barbecue, like hot dogs, garlic fries, because that's what San Francisco Giants AT&T Park is known for.
Are they really?
Yeah. They're never the been, best so garlic know. Fries. And then there was caramel corn, homemade. Like, it was really good. I was talking to the chef about it. And he had all his Giants gear going on there. And Giants won 7-1 over the Kansas City
Just
Royals.
Just for you, Ruby Joe.
It was a blowout. And guess who's pitching?
Who?
My boy, Madison Bumgarner, nonetheless. He is killing it right now. I'm telling you. This is his third World Series, and he's only, what, 24?
Are you serious?
Yeah. He's like super young, and he's about to win his third World Series.
That's awesome.
A little news I found out before he was 21, they were going into the World Series. And so, like, a few games before, he couldn't even celebrate with the team. You know how they do all this champagne and the beer? He couldn't even do that because he wasn't even old enough before the first World Series that they won in 2010.
Oh.
So, it was funny. It was funny.
It's good that he's back in it. Good for him. What a little hard worker he seems to be.
What a little hard worker. But hopefully Tim Lincecum shows up in the Giants pitching. We miss him out there.
Fingers crossed or wait.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So our next little news we have going for you today is the NCAA and NFL and other major professional sports leagues filed a motion for temporary restriction order on Tuesday in effect to halt the legalization sports betting in New Jersey. No more betting.
Oh.
If the leagues are granted the temporary restriction order, and multiple legal sources believe that they will, it would be the end of Monmouth Park's hopes and openings for the sports books on Sunday. New Jersey questioned why the integrity of the games would be negatively impacted by the same regulating sports betting that it's already taking place in Nevada, but it's ultimately lost its request to have the league's suit dismissed. This time, New Jersey has at least one new argument in dispute of the leagues, claiming that it is imperable harm. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver recently made a public statement that indicated that his league is open to participating in what he described as an inevitable expanded legalization sports betting in the U.S.
Wow. That's quite a heavy story there.
Yeah, because, you know, like betting for like fantasy football and all the different things.
And March
like
Madness.
March Madness. It's like sports betting is a huge thing, but they're seeing if it like really, you know, ruins the game, ruins the integrity of the actual sport.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's people in higher places that, because I do believe sometimes sports could potentially be rigged.
Yeah.
I mean, because people get really aggressive over money, and it does throw out the heart. That's why I like college sports a little bit more, just because it's not as...
It's not as liable as
a college sport. People are a little bit more courteous, I guess, to student-athletes.
Agreed.
People get freaking nuts over, like, NFL, NBA, NHL, and MLB. Like, I mean, it's just out of the water.
It is.
I mean, and people, I'm sure, pay off. Other people, like... There, I know this is a little off topic, a little like different sport, but like in ice skating, like when it came to like, there was this betting on something, and a girl, one of the ice skaters, it was like amateurs before like Olympic trials, got knocked in the knee. Someone came, clubbed her in the knee, and like took off.
Wow.
And like I've seen all the documentaries about it, and like at first it just kind of seemed like one of the best ice skaters taken out of the Olympic trials, and mm-hmm. no one thought really much about it except maybe it was good for her competitor. And later when I found out there was like underground betting between coaches or parents, and all of a sudden this girl had her ACL torn out, and
yeah,
I was like, oh my
gosh. That's the sad thing about betting, ruining the integrity of the game.
No, I totally agree. So
yeah,
I think, exactly. What can you do? I mean, as long as we don't participate, not like we can, being NCAA athletes, we're not allowed to, but
it's against the rules.
It's against the rules, but we wouldn't encourage it even if it was for the rule or not against the rules, for the rules.
Yeah, I don't think I would do it anyways.
Yeah, it's silly. I'd rather just go to a slot machine and throw my pennies
in there. Yeah, waste my money that way.
My nickels and my pennies, my spare change.
My spare change on the slot
machine.
Speaking
of spare change,
ooh,
we're going into our final segment of the show called Being Broke Ain't a Joke, 5 Ways to Trick Yourself into Saving Some Cash Money.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Do you want to hear it?
I want to hear it. Okay. Lay it out on the line for me.
I'm going to lay it on the line for you. Number one is go on autopilot, meaning don't look for ways to spend or make excuses for you to spend. I know I'm guilty of this. I'm very guilty. Number two, keep the change. Every penny counts, literally.
Every single penny.
I have a little Bouchac. Like a little Bouchac.
I keep all my little coins and all things.
Yeah, it's like a little piggy bank. My grandpa always taught me this, and I put all my change in there at the end of every day. I always put $1. If I have a dollar on me, put $1 in my little piggy bank, and I'll save it for a rainy day.
There you go.
And I don't touch my Bouchac.
And I pick up all the little pennies off the ground, too.
Only if they're heads up.
Only heads up. But I still pick them up.
I just pick them up for everyone.
I'll stop for
them. My grandpa does penny patrol.
Oh.
In the parking lots at the grocery stores.
He's so cute.
He's a character. Number three is forget the raise. Don't allow yourself to ball out. Ball on a budget. So that means just because you got it, goes pretty much into my next one. Keep the habit. Just because you have the money doesn't mean you need to be spending it. So 3 and 4 kind of tie into obvious reasons.
Yeah, wrapped together.
Ball on a budget. And then number 5, our last one. Finders keepers.
Losers weepers.
Yes, when it comes to money you find, money you see, like whatever. It's a dog eat dog world. Get over it.
Yeah, I throw people over.
If you lose your
$5
on the ground, don't expect to get it back. And if you $5
bad karma.
If you $5, put it in your Bouchac and save it for a rainy day.
I like those.
Yeah, so I mean that wraps up.
Being broke ain't a joke.
Being broke ain't no joke. So that wraps up not only our segment, but it wraps up our show as a whole.
Aww.
It's going back to hump day.
Hump day, Wednesday. Enjoy your Wednesday, everyone.
Yes, enjoy your hump day. Do what you got to do. Pick up your kids. Take them to tennis practice.
Take them to soccer practice.
Go make them that after-school lunch.
Go watch scary movies.
Scary movies. Take them to the pumpkin patch or the candy shop.
Yeah, all the little fun things you can do this lovely October.
Yes, exactly. Utilize what Santa Fel has to offer you.
Exactly.
So make sure, please, to tune in next Wednesday, 2 to 3. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe.
And this is Good Day from the Bay. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. I wonder why it's not there. I see right through.